good projector. Look at that. Looks good, huh? Nice HD projector. Looks good. If you're wondering why we're sitting in a circle, if it's been a while since you've been here, if you're new this morning, we're walking the road to Lent, and the end of the road to Lent is the cross, the death and resurrection of Jesus. And so we want to keep the cross at the center of everything we do, always, but particularly in the season of Lent, that we're sitting around and looking at the cross and looking at each other through the cross. And we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount for quite a while now, since January. And so we're moving along to the next thing, which is Matthew 6, 19 through 24. And with our section today, there's a question that comes up, and it's the question that's the title of the sermon: who are you going to serve? Who are you going to serve? Jesus tells us today that there are two masters that are vying for your attention, two masters that are trying to influence you, to get you to worship them. One of them is God the Father, who loves you, who pours out his love for you, who desires you, a relationship with you. And the other is money and possessions. Yes, we're going to talk about money today. Oh boy, all right. Money and possessions that are trying to vie for your attention as well, get you to worship them and pledge allegiance to them. And so the question we have is, who are we going to serve? Let's read our passage first, Matthew 6, 19 through 24. You can follow along if you'd like. It says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal." Or if Jesus was preaching this in 2022, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures in Bitcoin," right? Or cryptocurrency. If you heard the story of the guy who had Bitcoin and he forgot the password to it, and now he has one more chance, otherwise it's going to wipe out his entire savings, millions of dollars. Woo! Right? That's nerve-wracking. "Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also be. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Jesus says things in the Sermon on the Mount that are difficult, that challenge us, that challenge what we think and how we behave and how we act. And this is one of them: how we behave and how we act and how we deal with money and possessions. It's tough. It's difficult. Churches are notoriously bad about talking about money and possessions, right? We don't like to do it. Maybe you can remember a time that to me. I know some of you have, and you can testify. I don't bite. I don't attack. Okay? We can sit and we can talk together and wrestle together with what the scripture has to say. Now, I said from the beginning, I like to visualize things. And so I'm kind of visualizing. Jesus is sitting there. You're standing there on the Sermon on the Mount. He's preaching. And the crowd started coming. It started with the poor and those who were kind of nearby. And I think the crowd has shifted, because now he's looking out. I can't prove this, but I think he's looking out. And now he sees people wearing nicer clothing. He sees people with nicer medals in their ears and earrings and nose rings and all the different things. In that culture, there were two signs that you were a little bit better off: the type of clothing that you wore, the silks, and also the type of precious metals that you could use and wear around. So I think he's looking around. He's saying, "Oh, look at this crowd. You know, let me give you a message for you all." He's speaking to people who don't have to worry about their next meal, don't have to worry about holes in their shoes or a good socks or a winter coat or anything like that. And I don't want to say this flippantly, but I don't want to overgeneralize, but that's the majority of us in this community and in this city, okay? Now, I know there's people who struggle. I'm not trying to diminish that. I'm not trying to deny that. I know many who struggle from paycheck to paycheck. But compared to the scope of the world, we are blessed. We have a lot. If you woke up this morning and had to choose between which coat you wanted to wear, you got two coats, you're blessed more than most of this world. We got to keep that in mind as we think about this and what Jesus is saying. So let's begin by asking the question that maybe you're thinking about. Does the Bible condemn people who are rich? The answer to that, the short answer to that is no. And the long answer to that is no, but be careful. But be careful. Being rich in and of itself is not a disqualifying characteristic for being in the kingdom of God. But be careful. Jesus says it's hard for a rich person to enter into the kingdom of God. It's hard because a rich person, their characteristics, the things they are pursuing, would not necessarily be the things of the kingdom. And Scripture gives warnings throughout to the rich from beginning to end, and they kind of fall into two red flag categories, two things that we should be aware of. The first one is this. Don't put your trust in riches. Riches will fail you and lead to loss. And that's for anybody, right? Don't put your trust in what you have, those physical things. They will fail you. They will go away. Rust and moth and vermin will destroy them. 1 Timothy 6 says, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. And you probably know this verse. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. There's a grief that comes from pursuing wealth for wealth's own gain. Wealth, possessions, money, they fade away. Moth and rust destroy them. You know, Jesus has a lot to say about money if we're listening. He tells another parable about a guy who had so much, he kept building bigger barns. He's like, I don't got room. I better build another barn. I better make something bigger to store all my stuff. And he says, you fool, tonight your life will be asked of you. Well, what are you doing with all this stuff? So we got to be careful. We're going to talk about that in a minute. The second red flag is this. I actually mentioned this a couple weeks ago. When Scripture talks about wealth, it acknowledges that wealth comes at the cost of another person. Those who are super wealthy, it comes at the cost of another person. This is something we don't like to hear. I'm going to acknowledge that. But let's listen to what James has to say. Now listen, you rich people. Weep and wail because of the misery that is coming on you. Your wealth has rotted and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. You have hoarded wealth. The wages you failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. You've exploited people to get your wealth. The Bible is pretty clear about that. It talks about that even from Amos, the prophets, all the way to the New Testament. The idea of a self-made millionaire, no, stop it. That's not a thing. That's not a thing. A millionaire, a billionaire has always stepped on someone to get to where they're going. There's another parable that Jesus says about a rich young ruler. And this rich young ruler says, hey, what do I got to do to get into the kingdom of heaven? He says, I followed all these things. He says, go sell all your stuff. Go sell all your stuff and then come back. And what does the rich young ruler do? He leaves sad. He's like, I got a lot of stuff. I got to get rid of all my stuff. I don't want to do that. But I think something else Jesus is saying there is go back and reconcile with the people you've hurt to get to where you are. You've exploited some people along the way. Go back and talk to them. He doesn't want to do that either. I don't want to stare the people I've hurt back in the face again. And so he goes on his way sad because he can't do it. See, if, and this is a big if as Christians we want to be honest about wealth and money, we cannot lift up an Elon Musk or a Jeff Bezos and ignore the bodies they've stepped on to get there. Something we got to be serious about and consider. Now, that's nice and all. You're saying, thank you, Pastor. That's real nice. I'm not a billionaire. I'm not a millionaire. I don't even stray off the dollar menu at McDonald's, right? I get it, okay? So what does this have to do with me? Well, let me share with you a verse to maybe frame our conversation in Matthew today. This is a passage from Proverbs, and this is something I think Jesus was thinking about last week and something that Jesus is thinking about this week as he's preaching. And it starts like this, Proverbs 37 through 9. The author is saying, two things I ask of you, Lord, do not refuse me before I die. So he says, there's two things I'm going to ask of you, God. First thing is this, keep falsehood and lies far from me. Good. Okay, I mean, I think we should strive for that. Let's not speak falsely to each other. Let's keep lies for me. And here's the second thing. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Huh. right? Give me neither poverty. Now, I understand not wanting poverty, but, you know, don't give me riches either. So what's the theological heart to what the author is saying here? Well, if I have poverty, what am I consumed with? I'm consumed with, where am I going to get my next meal? Where am I going to find shoes? Where am I going to get socks? Where am I going to get a coat? How am I going to feed my kids? How am I going to do all this? And in the midst of that, I might get angry at you, God. I might curse you, God, because I don't have enough. But what the proverb is saying here is that riches and poverty can put you in the same spiritual condition. So if I have riches, I'm not worried about my next meal. I'm not worried about where the next thing is coming. I don't even have to rely on you, God. I got this under control. My 401k is paying out. It's good. So he says, give me neither poverty nor riches, but what does he ask for instead? Give me only my daily bread. And I think Jesus was thinking about this last week and this week. Give me what I need for today so I know that I have what I need so that tomorrow I can trust you for the next thing that I need. Give me only my daily bread. Here's the entire thing in context. Two things I ask of you, Lord, do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. So I present to you Riverside, I think the heart that we should strive for when it comes to money and possessions. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me my daily bread. Give me my daily bread so I can trust you for what I need today. I can serve you because I know my needs are met, and trust you for tomorrow as well. So, Pastor, are you saying I should not have a vacation home or two cars or two jackets or go on nice vacations? I'm not saying any of that. That's not what I'm trying to say today. What I'm saying is consider what God has blessed you with above and beyond your daily bread. Consider how you might use that as a blessing for others in the kingdom of God. Consider what God has blessed you with above and beyond your daily bread and how you might use that as a blessing for others in the kingdom of God. So let's turn to our passage now. Now we'll actually get to what Jesus says. Sometimes it's good to take a passage and put it in a new version. So I've used the ARV before, the RR Revised Version, right, with a different word. But let's learn an old word today. If you grew up with the King James Version, anyone here read the King James Version? A couple, handful, okay, okay, that's okay. Matthew 6:24, you know there's a different translation of that, right? You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and, what's the word? Mammon. Yeah, mammon, M-A-M-M-O-N. Now, that's a word we don't use anymore, but I'm going to say it's a word we need to learn for today, this word mammon. The word mammon deals with more than just money. It's money, it's possessions, it's kind of like your portfolio. Think of it like your portfolio. You know, you got a little bit in this, you got a little bit in that. All these things that accompany and go along with your worldly possessions. Mammon is this never-ending desire to accumulate more and more for the sake of status and comfort. That's what mammon is, this never-ending desire to accumulate more and more. And what's important today is that Jesus equates mammon to the level of a false god that wants to be a master over you. This desire for more and more, to consume more and more, it can become a master over you that wears you out, that leads you to death and not life. The early church, probably based on Jesus' words here, they became aware of the effects of mammon in their relationship. They equated mammon with the evil one. They began saying mammon is like the evil one. You cannot worship two things. You can only worship one. Jesus calls mammon a master and puts mammon up against God the Father. There's two masters who are calling for your allegiance. Who are you going to serve? So let's consider these two masters that Jesus talks about. Now, Jesus is the exact representation of God. We know that from Hebrews. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 1. So let's take a look at two masters, mammon and Jesus. Okay, so here is two masters calling for you, calling for your allegiance. What do each of these two masters offer? And which one should we listen to? Now, what I'm going to share are 5 points for each of these. And these are not mine. These are from a friend of mine who preached this sermon. His name is Jeff Hunt in Detroit. many years ago, and I took notes, and I'm like, oh, I could redo this, or I could just tell you what he said because it was so good that, and give him the credit. So I'm going to just tell you what he said and give him the credit for these ideas because I think it's super helpful. And I'll fill in with my own illustrations. So we got two masters, Mammon and Jesus. They're calling to us. What does Mammon offer? Well, first thing, Mammon is a liar. Mammon is a liar. Mammon says, if you get the next thing, if you get this, if you get the bigger car, if you get the nicer house, if you do this, then you'll be satisfied. Then you'll have enough. Then you can say, we're good, I got this, and that's a lie. Because as soon as your neighbor gets the bigger car than you, or the nicer house, or the better phone, whatever it might be, you'll feel dissatisfied again. There's nothing you can acquire on earth that will give you that eternal joy. No physical possession, I should say, that will give you that eternal joy. And Mammon is a liar in that way and says, yeah, you can get that. Just buy this. Just get that. Mammon is like a collection agency. Right? When the bill comes due, Mammon's coming to call him. It's going to come get you. When you die, Mammon is going to come and collect what's still there. Mammon is a liar, but Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the truth. What Jesus has for us will last forever. It will endure. It will not fade away. It will not pass. It is a treasure in heaven, as Jesus says, not a treasure on earth that's at risk of being destroyed. And the cost has been paid on the cross. There's no more cost to pay. There's no collection agency coming for what Jesus is offering us. The cost has been paid by Jesus. First or second, Mammon is stingy. Mammon is stingy. Mammon says, mine, mine, mine. Give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that. It's all mine. I'm going to take it, and it's mine. Mammon is stingy. It tries to define you by the thing that you have. iPhones are the perfect example of Mammon, right? Smartphones in general. Your iPhone that you have, I got an iPhone 12. It should last me for 3 years, no problem. But what does Apple do? They come out with a new phone every 6 months, right? Mammon, mammon, mammon. Now, I got full disclosure, okay? Full disclosure. I love technology, okay? If the Lord blesses us with many years together, and I pray that he does, you're going to notice probably about this time next year that I just wear the same clothes over and over again, right? You're like, man, Pastor R never buys any new clothes. And that's true. I don't. I buy no new clothes, right? I buy something until it falls apart. I have no problem with that. And I only shop at Target, so there you go. That's all I get. It's very nice. But technology, ooh, I love technology, right? My wife's like, that's the truest thing you've said in 16 years of marriage. Right? That is my mammon, you know? Like, I got a perfectly good phone, and Apple says, hey, how about we give you the same phone but in green? Oh, yeah, I'll take it. Mammon, it's mine. I love it. Mammon, mammon, mammon. It's my struggle. I battle with it. Mammon is stingy. Jesus is generous. Jesus is abundantly generous to us. He gives of himself and he's given everything. He gives his life freely so we can be set free from the things that shackle us. And because Jesus is generous, he calls us to be generous with what we have. Not just be concerned with mine, 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 but with God has entrusted to me to be used for the kingdom. Third, mammon is darkness. Right? And Jesus uses his example of eyes. So in the biblical times, eyes can either receive something or they can send something out. That's how they understood eyes. And so Jesus says, your eyes, they send out a light or they send out a darkness. Depends on your healthiness. But actually, the NIV kind of fails us here again because these words healthy and unhealthy, they actually have a connotation of finances. So he says, if your heart is generous, then you will be like a light. Your eyes will be like a light that goes out. If your heart is stingy, it's like a darkness that goes out. And how great is that darkness of a stingy heart that holds on to what God has blessed them with without considering others and what others may do? See, mammon is darkness. It just makes you think of mine, mine, mine. What do I get to keep? How do I not lose out? Jesus is light. Jesus is light. We've talked about this a lot. You know, Jesus is the light of the world. And we've already talked about salt and light in the Sermon on the Mount. But it's a reminder for us that we are generous when we are healthy. We become a light to a dark world. We are present as a light in the dark world. Fourth, Mammon is relentless. There are no days off with Mammon. You get no days off, no holidays, no vacation. There's no retirement package for Mammon. You got to worry about Mammon all the time. Now you think the stock market is another great example of Mammon. Monday through Friday, you wake up till you put your head down. What's the stocks doing? What's my money doing? What's this doing? And you think you get the weekends off? No, you don't, because you got futures, you got commodities, you got the global stocks. Right? Mammon is relentless. It will get you thinking, mine, mine, mine. I'm worried about my money. I'm worried about this. How's this going to work out? Jesus gives you rest. Jesus gives you rest. And that's where the practice of Sabbath comes in. You know, Sabbath, we usually think of Sabbath as today for most people, right? This is my Sabbath. I get to go home and just, right? And do nothing all day. But it's a little bit more than that. Sabbath was given by God to God's people to say, don't be like the world that works 7 days a week relentlessly, tirelessly, trying to build up their own glory. Sabbath was a day of rest to say, no, I'm going to trust you on the seventh day, God. For 6 days I've worked and I've done what I need to do. On the seventh day, I'm not doing anything. I'm going to rest in you. I'm going to trust in you, God. Jesus, Mammon gives you no days off. Jesus says, come, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Rest with me today. Lastly, Mammon prioritizes yourself. I got to get what I need. Me, me, me. I've deserved this. I got to get this. Now, let me be clear. Prioritizing yourself and self-care, those are two different things. Right? Self-care is a good thing. Right? Seeking spiritual direction, counseling, whatever you need, therapy that would help you grow closer to God, that's good. That's not what Mammon's talking about. Mammon is saying, get what you need now before somebody else gets it. That's prioritizing yourself. That cutthroat attitude, very individualistic, is not of the kingdom of God. But Jesus, he prioritizes the kingdom of God. He prioritizes the kingdom. His values, his priorities, his calling on your life, his grace and mercy. Not giving us what we have deserved, but giving us what we do not deserve. Forgiveness of our sins, cleansing of our sins. He calls us to life together, caring for each other, not being stingy or relentless or dark or lying, but living in truth and generosity and love with one another as the body of Christ. So which one do you want to serve of these two things? Right? When you put it that way, Pastor, it's pretty obvious, right? I want to serve Jesus. I get it. But Mammon is there, Jesus says. It's calling. It's tempting. It's luring. And it's not only true for people. Churches can fall prey to Mammon too. Churches can fall prey to Mammon. There's this book, very small. You know, Lifeway. Remember Lifeway bookstores back in the day? There's some. It was one in Indianapolis. They kind of went out of business, which whatever. But they had these little books by Thomas Rainer. They used to give out. They're like $2, and they're like, I like, you know, $2 for a book. You know, books are my other Mammon, right? So I love books. I was like, oh, $2, if I can get one good idea out of this book, that's fine. So there was this book. It was called Autopsy of the Deceased Church. So it sounds interesting. Like, I want to buy that book, right? And so he did some research. He went to 100 churches that closed. He was like trying to figure out, why did these churches close? And he had all these different thoughts. Well, they probably closed because of this or that or that. Almost exclusively, every church closed because they started worshiping Mammon. They started worshiping Mammon. This is what he says. If churches spend time worrying about what they like and what they don't like about their worship service, and if their money is spent hiring people to fix what they don't like, and if they spend all their money on things that make their members comfortable, then that church is on the brink of death, or it's already died and just doesn't know it yet. But he says, if a church spends their time reaching into the community around them and on ministries that do the same, and invest in the kingdom, and it spends their time making themselves uncomfortable, then this church, it doesn't matter if there's 25 people in it, that church is alive and thriving and growing. And there will not be 25 people in a church if you're doing that with what God has given you. See, what Jesus is getting at here is how we tend to the things that God has given us reveals a deeper condition of our heart. It reveals who are we serving, Mammon? Or Jesus? Who are we serving? Mammon is the spirit of this world. The spirit of this world is a liar. It is stingy. It is relentless. The spirit of the world breeds worry and fear and selfish desires that I got to get mine, mine, mine before somebody else does. See, to serve mammon is to be enslaved by mammon. To serve mammon, to serve money, to serve possessions is to be enslaved by mammon. But Jesus comes to break us free from the spirit of the world. In Jesus, we find truth, a generous spirit, and rest. In Jesus, we are free to find joy in all circumstances, hope for our present and our future. To serve Jesus is to be set free. To serve Jesus is to be set free. There's two masters calling you this morning, Mammon and Jesus. Who will you serve today? Today, we must choose to serve Jesus. Jesus tells us that where our heart, where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. And let us treasure the way of Jesus over the way of mammon. To treasure the way of Jesus is to love with the lavish love of God. 1 John, we talked about that in my first series here, right? The lavish love of God. We love others in mercy and truth. To treasure the way of Jesus is to generously give what has been given to us. Matthew 10:8, later on in the book of Matthew, when he sends out the 12, he goes, freely you've received what I'm giving you, now freely give it away. Freely give it away. This hope in Jesus. To treasure the way of Jesus is to point people to a better master. The master of the world says, take, get more, be afraid, get it while you can. Our master says, taste and see that I am good. Trust in me. Rest in me. Find your hope in me. Stop striving. I've done the work on the cross. Rest in me today. To break free from the lure of mammon, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let us trust him with our daily bread. Let us give generously what we have been given. Let us love lavishly in every and any situation and circumstance. And then we will be set free, not enslaved by the things of this world, but set free by the love of Jesus for us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your rest, your kindness, your generous spirit, Lord. We thank you for our daily bread that you've given us. And Lord, help us to consider what we have beyond that, what you are calling us to give to others, to give to your kingdom. Lord, forgive us for the ways that we are tempted by mammon. It's always in our face, Lord, we confess. And it's hard. It's hard. So help us, Lord, to pursue the things of your kingdom, to set aside the lure of mammon, to not serve that master, but to serve you, Jesus. Your yoke is easy. Your burden is light. Help us to taste and see you this morning in all that we do. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.